Overseers say the issues at Pullman Yard started when there was a change of ownership in 2017. There have been some huge events here, including the Van Gogh exhibit. Football games have been played here. President Joe Biden, he's had events here. On a good day, neighbors say it's congested. On a bad day, it's chaotic. And now we're starting to see tensions between neighbors, Pullman Yards, and the city start to spike. According to an Atlanta police report, that's Pullman Yards owner Adam Rosenfeld on Friday morning yelling at a contracted worker for the city's Department of Watershed Management.
When I first saw the video, I was horrified.
Atlanta City Councilmember Liliana Bakhtiari, who oversees this district, said she called the mayor, chief of police, and talked with neighbors after this. But for many who live in Kirkwood, the damage has been done. Neighbors say this outburst is a microcosm of the ongoing issues stemming from Pullman Yards, spilling into the surrounding community.
Dude, hey, stop. Stop what you're doing right now.
Just today, this tree crashed into a neighbor's yard during a clearing operation at Pullman Yards.
We just are struggling with congestion and standstill traffic and dangerous activities. As you can see with the tree that just fell in our neighbor's backyard where our kids play. Do you need a push, Ab?
And Meredith Adams, who's lived here since 2020, said with large events overwhelming their small historic neighborhood, they fear emergency vehicles won't be able to navigate through the congestion. We brought a camera out last weekend to get a sense of the squeeze 1 week before 420 Fest.
Friday is a culmination of unaddressed tensions over a long period of time.
Bakhtiari said Atlanta's Department of Transportation is releasing a traffic plan on Tuesday. She set up a community meeting with the mayor for Wednesday. And a spokesperson for Pullman Yards told me they're adhering to strict curfew guidelines. For many neighbors, they say the issues stem from zoning and permitting loopholes. But with these tweaks, there's at least a roadmap to mitigate the masses.
I'm not certain how to fix this yet, but I know what I can do is bring the people to the table that have the expertise.
And we did reach out to Adam Rosenfeld's team about the incident on Friday. They did not explain his actions, but they told me that no criminal charges will be filed on any party involved in that incident. Now, expect crowds here this weekend for 20 Fest on Saturday. Single day tickets are already sold out. From Pullman Yards, Patrick Quinn, Atlanta News First.
Pullman Yards, the topic of episode 22 of the Decatur Dish, and this is something that you guys at Decaturish got involved with right away. Our team here at Atlanta News First, also as you saw from our reporter Patrick Quinn, went to Kirkwood, got really everyone's take on this, and as you saw, a little bit of a shocking video there, that exchange. So I want to ask you, Dan, because you've been following this really for some time. Take me through the whole timeline here.
So as we talked a little bit ago, this controversy has been sort of building and building and building until Friday morning. It was bad timing for the owner of Pullman Yards, Adam Rosenfeld, to have a documented confrontation, altercation with a watershed employee, because people were already upset and mad and ready to pounce. And that video was published on the Kirkwood Facebook pages on Friday. I was made aware of it on Saturday, and I started doing my reporting. I figured it was going to be a pretty big deal because I saw the video and I was shocked by it, like a lot of people. And we worked on it through the weekend. I talked to witnesses. I got a copy of the video. I talked to people who knew him. We went back and forth on trying to find the police report. We finally got the police report on Monday, and we were able to confirm definitively his involvement. We had some eyeball witnesses as well. And I think that it just kind of reiterates, you know, a point that you got to, you know, being a good neighbor is important. And I think there's some people in Kirkwood who don't feel that Pullman Yards has particularly been a good neighbor. And after 2 years of trying to get City Hall to do something about it, to curb some of the noise and traffic, they've formed a group, the Pat Pratt Pullman Conservancy. It's an organized neighborhood group. They've got a lot of resources. I am told, so Sweetwater 420 Fest is coming up this weekend, and that has been, there's like drama within drama within drama with this thing. So Sweetwater 420 Fest was initially going to be headlined by Beck, and for whatever reason, that isn't happening. So they refunded all the tickets, and then they made the, it's essentially free. You get it if you make a $10 donation to Watershed, and I don't want to knock the band. Larkin Poe is going to be on the set. I love them. They're a great band. It's just a scaled down version of what they were planning, but it's still going to bring in a lot of traffic, a lot of noise. And I'm not making this up. There's going to be volunteers in Kirkwood who are going to do a volunteer drone patrol where they're going to have drones flying over this thing. I'm not making this up. And they're going to fly drones over this thing and do traffic counts for the city to show the city the receipts that, hey, there's a lot of traffic that's being generated by these events. And I got to tell you, if the neighborhood is doing volunteer drone patrols and taking the side of Atlanta Watershed over you might have messed up somewhere.
Right.
I'm not an expert on that, but I think there's evidence that you may have messed up.
And there's a lot of this that we're going to continue to follow,
exactly,
you know, as we head into this weekend. So, of course, you can go to Decaturish.com and catch more from Patrick Quinn and the rest of the ANF team on AtlantaNewsFirst.com. Want to move on to another area of DeKalb County, Avondale Estates. Now, Avondale has long been working on a street project, and you actually mentioned this. I believe it was our first or second episode here on Decatur Dish. So, and it's fair to say that you have been following this one closely. This is near and dear to Avondale Estates. They have gotten into a construction contract. City Council has approved that. Talk to me a little bit about the significance of this.
It's been a long time coming. This has been talked about, but it finally got some movement. I'm checking my numbers. It's an $8.5 million project. Mm-hmm. Most of it is through grants. They're going to narrow the road. I call it a road diet. Other people call it a road diet. Avondale Estates doesn't like it when I call it a road diet.
But it's a road diet.
It's a road diet. That's what it is. But there's more stuff. There's other stuff. They're going to put in nice new sidewalks. And you know, but they're going to make it a place where right now when you drive through Avondale, it's more or less a highway through town. And that's what they're trying to change. They're trying to make it a place where you slow down, stop, maybe park, maybe walk, maybe check out some of the businesses. They want to do things to make the city more walkable and invite more people in, which if you've been following Avondale for any length of time, which we have, that's a radical departure from where the city was 10 years ago. Wanting people outside the city to come in was not something a significant portion of the residents wanted. But now that they're trying to diversify their tax base and get a little bit more to do some neglected public infrastructure projects, that's why they're pursuing things like the town green and the road diet. It's going to be, getting back to the theme of traffic being a perpetual thorn in everyone's side, it's going to be 18 months. So it's not going to look great for most of that. But in the end, I think city officials will think it's worth it, and of course the price is right because most of it is being paid for with grants and that type of thing. But another recurring theme of our show is pedestrian infrastructure and safety and the need to invest in that. And this is, when you get right down to it, it's a multi-million dollar investment in pedestrian safety and infrastructure. So it'll make things safer for walkers. It'll make Avondale a little bit less of a place you pass through and a place you want to stop in and shop and support those businesses. So it's a big deal. They're going to start this summer. I will be honest, I didn't think that was going to happen anytime soon. But here it is. They're going to start that this summer, and it's going to annoy everyone to death. But when it's done, it should look nice. And it'll definitely be a boost to downtown Avondale Estates.
And certainly a nice surprise to Episode 2 Dan, who was originally talking about this on Decatur Dish. I just wanted to point out, while we are on the subject of Avondale, Decaturish.com. You guys have a great way of organizing these news updates and stories by the area, and Avondale is one of them. So you can go to Decaturish.com and you can see this story that we're talking about now and so many other developments out of Avondale right there. So a fantastic fantastic resource. Dan, we have to talk about this next story. One of my favorites, or going to be one of my favorites when you hear about it in a moment, Talk of the Town. And this one is certainly being talked about. Indicator, a beloved cross guard, back to work after an unfortunate and really a shocking hit-and-run incident that put him out of work. A lot of students that we talked to had heartfelt stories to share about him. Well, he is back, and these students and this community is so happy for him and both happy to have him back in action. So let's talk about this story. I originally think the incident involved happened on... Well, he returned back to work on April 15th, mm-hmm. but last fall was when the hit and run actually took place. Is that correct?
I believe it happened on September 11th or around then.
Okay, September,
He was hit doing his job, being a crossing guard. The crossing guards in Decatur, that's an institution. People see crossing guards in every school district, but Decatur has a very robust crossing guard program, in mm-hmm. part because a lot of the students walk to school. Probably more walkers in city schools of Decatur than any other district in metro Atlanta, because it is within a certain footprint, if you will. So many square miles, a lot of pedestrian infrastructure again. So crossing guards are an important part of making that work. And Jeffrey Smith was doing his job, as
there
we discussed. Mm-hmm. He was hit. The person took off. He was later arrested. But the story got another twist when we learned that a Decatur High student stopped, had the presence of mind to stop, mm-hmm. render aid, take a description,
yes,
get a light. So this person was really the hero of the story and didn't want recognition. God knows we tried to find this person because we wanted that story. And then she showed up at a city commission meeting, young woman, remarkable young woman. Decatur City Commission gave her an award. Tessa Hibner is her name, and she's gotten all the plaudits, all the accolades for what she did. And it was a rough story. It made a lot of people mad, but it's good that he's back to work now and that she's been recognized for the good things that she did. And net positive, he's back on the job, and you could not have faulted him. Perhaps for not wanting to do that again, but he's out there and he's doing what he loves to do. I want to point out the Tally Street kids did care packages for him. So the community really came together and rallied around this crossing guard. And that's just one of the things that makes Decatur great and a special place to cover.
And I just want to point out this crossing guard, Jeffrey Smith, or Mr. Jeffrey, as they call him, for him to suffer a hit and run like that, be injured in the state that he was, and then come back. He's very passionate about serving his community and this job that he does, and we're so grateful for that. I did just want to read this statement from Decatur Police. On his return, they said on Facebook, quote, "School crossing guard Jeffrey Smith is back on duty after recovering from being struck by a vehicle while crossing a student last September. We are so happy to have him back helping students safely cross." So as you can imagine, this was really a moment for the community to celebrate a happy update to have him back. And of course, for Mr. Jeffrey, I'm sure he's just happy to be back to normal.
I mean, he's tougher than I am. Sometimes I want to shut it all down if I cut my fingers. So there you go. He's got a lot of guts, and commend him for getting back at it and being a crossing guard again, because you could not have faulted him for wanting to choose another thing to do in his spare time. So
not at all.
Welcome back, Jeff.
Welcome back. This next one, a spotlight on the community, where we take a moment to celebrate a happy moment, a member of DeKalb County that's doing great things. Well, this one happened over this past weekend, involving four students from Decatur who got to play among some of their idols, I should say, at Amplify Music Festival. Dan, you guys actually went to Amplify Music Fest. You covered this event and these jitterbugs that made people get up and out of their seats.
Yeah, it's a great one of those bands that formed during the pandemic when all you could do was get together outside and be socially distanced. And these kids, there are three that go to Decatur High and one that goes to a school, I believe, called Ben Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
They got together in 2020. They started playing instruments together. And I'm not really clear on why they got the name Jitterbug, but the parents gave them that, and they won the battle of the bands at Eddie's Attic, and they got to play at Amplify. And just quick shout out to Amplify and all the great work that they do. They've raised a lot of money to alleviate homelessness in DeKalb County, and that's what the festival is for every year. That's its purpose. I'm talking hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years to alleviate homelessness and help people who are homeless in DeKalb County. So this is just one facet of that story. I listened to them. I don't know if you're familiar with a band called Violent Femmes, but it's very much reminiscent of that. A lot of strings. They got a big, you know, bass violin. It's really cool. Super talented kids. It's just no notes. It's a good story. I didn't want to get their names, and I apologize if I pronounced these wrong. I didn't get a chance. It's Claire Lobdell, Hazel Patty, Cyrus Ibrahimel, and Sam Sirigno. I'm getting that wrong, and I apologize. I should have checked that phonetically before I got on this show. But the names are spelled correctly, I promise you, in the story that Zoe Seiler did. So check them out. Dean took some great photos of these kids over the weekend. It's a lot of fun. Again, just another one of those stories that reminds you of why Decatur is a great place to cover. And, yeah, no notes. Good job, kids.
We certainly have a lot of fun covering DeKalb County, Decatur, here on Atlanta News First, and I'm sure for you all at Decaturish. And the news doesn't stop, certainly not for DeKalb County. So if you wanted to catch more updates and developments on stories like these, maybe some feel-good stories that you're searching for, you can find that on the Atlanta News First app and as well as on Decaturish.com. I'm going to pull up that website here. Anywhere else that they can connect with you and the Decaturish team, Dan?
Decaturish Votes, DecaturishVotes.com. It's an important resource this year as we head into elections. Atlanta News First app is where you can download episodes of this show. I'm proud to say that the Decatur Dish is a podcast. So if you go to locallysourcednews.com and sign up for our email list, we send you a version of that podcast in the email every Monday. Supportyourlocalnews.com is where you can be a supporter of Decaturish.
And with that, we want to thank you so much for joining us on your Tuesday. We are here at 12:30 every week on Tuesday, I should say, with a new episode. So catch us for episode 23 next time, and we'll see you later.
Have a good week.